With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this All Saints Sunday, our hymns are 677, 672, 594, 474, 725, and 733. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is entitled Bliss of Heaven, is taken from Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17. Welcome, and may our Lord bless our worship this morning. We invite you to sing with us. You're singing opening hymn number 670.
Good morning. So happy to be here with all of you this morning, and a happy All Saints Day to all of you. As we gather here this morning, I pray that we can have our minds and our hearts focused upon the promises of God and upon His Word for us this morning. We are here to rest our souls upon our blessed Lord, and here do we find relief this morning from all the busyness of life and from all of life's demands. It is good for us to be here in God's house. And we especially remember this day, the joy that awaits for all of God's people on the last day when we too will join with God forever and be with Him forever in the air. We remember with thanksgiving all of those who now rest from their labors, and we look forward to the day when we too can finish our race of faith. Our order of service follows Divine Service Setting 1, and our opening hymn is number 677. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Thank you.
with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made,
who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. Third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As we heard in our first reading this morning, God speaks concerning the saints in heaven that they shall not hunger anymore, neither will they thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It's such a beautiful promise we get this morning. And what's more is that we can be certain that God will do it. As the scriptures say, God is not man that he should lie, nor the son of a man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? No, rather, throughout all of Scripture, we see a God who is the one who is faithful and true. Let everyone be a liar, Paul says, but God remains true. For when God makes a promise, he stands behind it with infinite wisdom and power. Truly, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And that is the wonderful promise that I want us to meditate upon this morning. As we'll come to see, there isn't a sorrow which the Lord cannot mend. You think about the various names of God, and it's no wonder that we call him the Great Physician. Or again, he bears the title Wonderful Counselor. We call him the lover of our souls, for God and he alone can console man's soul. And he promises that in time, he will indeed wipe away every tear from our eyes. That day is dawning, dear friends, when we will see the infinite God make all things new. And we will watch as he puts everything into perfect order again. On that day, when we enter into his presence, he will wipe tears from our eyes. We may go to heaven's gates with tear-filled eyes, but in paradise, those tears will be gone. For when God wipes them away, they will be wiped away forever. Today, we may suffer from teary eyes as we suffer from all sorts of trials. We have tears of all sorts of manners of grief and sorrow. We have tears from losing loved ones, tears from suffering from pain, sickness, and diseases, tears of guilt and shame, and tears from the abandonment and betrayal from others. All of it, beloved, every tear such as these shall be wiped away from your face. Such a glorious promise that God gives us this morning. And yet, this wiping away of tears, I want us to think about it as if it were only an outward manifestation. The wiping away of tears will only be the visible sign of something even more glorious. For what lies behind this wiping away of tears is a greater reality. For as we mentioned already, God will soon put all things in order. He will again make all things perfect, removing all pains and sorrows, stopping up the fountains of our tears. And there will remain nothing that can ever cause you grief or sorrow again. This morning we heard not a full description of heaven's bliss, as that would of course be impossible. But John does give us this morning a small description of what heaven will be like. He says they will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will they suffer from any scorching heat. I don't know if that description of heaven sounds insignificant to you, but I want to look deeper at that promise this morning.
For dear friends, there ought to be enough, even in that short description, to excite the heart into unspeakable joy. Although it might not sound impressive that heaven will be a place where we neither hunger nor thirst, or a place that we will not have any scorching heat afflict us, these are best known as two examples. Or again, these are just two categories, if you will, of heaven's bliss. And that is the key, I think, to understanding this passage. Those two phrases as two categories of what heaven will be like. As we jump into the text this morning, we're going to touch on those two categories. And first, we see that in heaven, the saints will not hunger or thirst, which means that they shall be delivered from all kinds of evil from within. And secondly, we will see that in heaven, the saints will not be struck by any scorching heat, meaning that they will be delivered from all kinds of evil from without. Taken together, dear friends, we learn that in heaven, nothing shall harm God's people internally, and nothing shall grieve them externally. But in everything, the child of God shall be blessed and happy. In the first case, what a blessing it will be when we are freed from all sorts of evil from within. On a very literal sense, today many people have to ask, what shall we eat? Or again, what shall we drink? In a very literal sense, this promise is saying that those questions will never again be asked up there. For in glory will all of our needs be abundantly supplied and more. Indeed, God's people have been hungry and thirsty here. Many of us have been forced to go without food or water around the world. They have had to share, as it were, in the sufferings of Christ, who himself said upon the cross, "I thirst." We are not above our Master, and many have been called to share in the sufferings of Christ, who is our covenant head. He is our leader and master. If we desire to share in the glory of Christ, then let us not be surprised when we are called to share in the sufferings of the cross. But I think what is more relatable for us is to see this hungering and thirsting in another light. For it is again but a category of all sorts of evil of within. What a glorious promise when God says that we will not hunger or thirst in heaven. How many people today hunger and thirst for all kinds of vanities? You know, there is an epidemic today of people hungering and thirsting for all kinds of things. For example, you have people hungering for fame. You go on TikTok today and everybody is searching for that 30 seconds of fame. What people won't give to be recognized. People are so itching for popularity that they'll even eat Tide Pods and laundry detergent. This is the world in which we live. People hunger for vain glory. They crave the praises of man. We want trophies. We want to be honored. We want to be recognized. We want entire crowds of people all looking upon us. People are hungering on earth for fame. But in heaven, dear friends, such hungering is alien to the saints in glory. See what the saints are like. For instead of craving fame, we see them taking off their crowns from upon their heads. They are casting their crowns at the feet of Jesus. They were told that they have palm branches in their hand, a symbol of victory. They ascribe the victory and its glory to the Lamb.
the triumph they credit to the Savior who suffered and died for them. In heaven, there is no hungering for fame. There's no empty longing or unsatisfied desire. Once in heaven, man and man's opinions are no longer even thought about. For once our eyes gaze upon the eternal God, nothing else shall matter. Your hungering for recognition will be satisfied when you see Jesus sitting upon the throne. When you see the Lamb as he has been slain, sitting upon the throne, then you will desire nothing else than that Jesus would be worshipped and adored for giving his life for you. And you will be satisfied in full, beloved, again, when the Father does honor you, saying, "Good job, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into the kingdom which has been prepared for you." Again, there is another kind of hungering which the world suffers from today. Though the saints do not know it in heaven, there is yet among us a hungering after wealth. So many today spend their days filling up storehouses and building larger ones. There is a hungering today always for more things, more stuff, and more money. People both inside and outside the church seek after riches. But again, such hungering shall not be known in heaven. For again, we see how the saints dwell where the streets are paved with gold. They each have a mansion in the sky. They enjoy the wedding feast daily. God's people suffer a lack of nothing, for the infinite God is their portion. Paul tells us that we who are in Christ Jesus are heirs of the eternal God. Our portion in heaven will be the Almighty God himself. We will have him who is priceless and precious, and we will be made one with him who rules all things and who subjugates all things under his reign. Still further, there is yet another spirit of hungering in the world as people crave friendships. I don't think there is anything under heaven which people crave more today than meaningful relationships. People are starving for love. But dearly beloved, such is not the portion of those in heaven. God is their friend. And more than that, God is the soul's beloved. In heaven, God is yours and you are his. There are no cravings in heaven due to a lack of friendships. When the soul is rather married to Christ, then we shall be joined to the Lord perfectly. And we shall be knit together, one to another, as the body of Christ. There will every relationship be perfect. Every face you gaze upon will be upon somebody you know perfectly and completely. One whom you love and who loves you in return. Our souls will be glorified, and we will be joined in unity and fellowship. And once more, concerning the inward blessing that we should have in heaven, we are told that we will no more be hungering after holiness. Your cravings for holiness, beloved, shall be satisfied. What I wouldn't give to be holy and to rid myself of all my sin today. That thought is so wonderful, to be perfected, to finally have control over my body and its cravings. And yet, excuse me. That is something which the saints in heaven do enjoy. The glorified stand today, ridden of all their sin. They have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They are each a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone, and the new has come. The old nature is consumed, having died in the flesh forever, having been buried in their baptism. Those who have gone before us now live without any spot or wrinkle. Each man made completely and utterly like unto our God. For he who has begun this good work in you will surely bring it to completion on that day. That we grow daily in holiness today, on the last day the work will be complete, and we will be made in the image of God. Dear friends, I could go on and on concerning the inward bliss that the Christian enjoys in heaven, for it makes the soul pant, and it makes your mouth water to think upon the glory of heaven. That there is no hungering or thirsting. There is no inward emptiness, no unfulfilled cravings, for all things are put in order. Our hungerings for necessities, for fame, for friendships, for holiness, and even our cravings for assurance and confidence, all will be erased, wiped clean, when we dwell in the midst of the Lamb forever. For the sake of time, I must move quickly over our last heading. For all that which we just talked about concerned only the inward bliss of the inward man in heaven. But as mentioned, there is yet a second category which we must touch just briefly on this morning. And that is the bliss and joys we will experience externally. As the second half of the promise goes, there will be no scorching heat. It's hard for us to appreciate this promise as much as those did in Palestine. But what a promise it is to hear that nothing external shall injure us. We suffer from so many external pains and sorrows, but in glory there will be no more death. How many of us miss loved ones? We have many widows. We have fatherless. We have those who suffer the loss of loved ones. But all of that grief and pain is foreign to those who do stand before God's throne. For God is a God of life. And in him, the saints suffer no more from external trials. Death is just a shadow, for everything is life and light for those who dwell in God for eternity. And lastly, beloved, there shall be no external sorrows which comes from the cares of life. How many suffer from earth's trials? What a blessing it will be to hear that the sun shall not strike us again, for we shall be living in the shelter of the Almighty. There will be no worries of circumstances, no worrying about our harvests, never again worrying about whether this is going to be a good year or not, or whether we will have fair weather or not. We will not worry about our children who are sick. We will have nothing to worry about when God makes his creation new again. Nothing outside of you will be there to cause you grief. For in glory, God is in our midst, and he richly and daily will provide for all of our needs. As we look to God's promise this morning, of what joys await us, let us be encouraged then in our Christian walk today.
It is my opinion that we can never think too often about heaven. And in fact, I believe that focusing our thoughts towards heaven is one of the greatest cures of worldliness. If you desire for your soul to be liberated from the worries and cares of this world, then strengthen your desire toward heaven. The more you think and hope for the world to come, the less you will think about this world with all of its vain glories and empty shadows. Meditate often upon the glory of heaven and turn your face towards your eternal home, pressing onward and upward, stepping lively, knowing that you are headed towards glory. Think often of heaven and make much of faith. Make much of Jesus, for that is through whom all of these promises and blessings become yours. Indeed, the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of all of these promises. See how the saints got there, that is, before the throne. We are told that they are those who washed themselves in the blood of the Lamb. These are them who trusted in the precious blood of Christ. Through Christ Jesus, all God's promises are yes and amen, beloved. So may we trust in Christ, who gave himself for us, so that we may enjoy him for all eternity. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let me just check where we are real quick. If you would please stand and join me in a word of prayer. Most gracious God, you are wonderful and perfect, full of loving kindness, and you are not ashamed to call us your children, but rather you have drawn near and desiring to have mercy upon us. Father, you have put your name upon us and called us your own. You are full of grace and mercy, and we ask that you would be with us this morning and throughout the week ahead, that we would be so moved to give you thanks and praise. Lead us in thanksgiving, that we may live out our days with joy and peace. And let our lives glorify you for the graces which you have given us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of love, as you have loved us, lead us also to love one another and our neighbors as ourselves. By your Spirit, move us to care for those around us, that we may support them in body, mind, and spirit. Lead us to build one another up in truth, in the ways of godliness, and in the life of praise towards you. As you have put your name upon us, may we bring it honor by living holy and decent lives. Lead all that we do to be governed by love, wisdom, and sacrifice for your kingdom and for the ultimate benefit of our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And good Father, give us peace of spirit, knowing that our trials of life are temporary. Comfort us with your Spirit as we travel through this fallen world. Though sorrows surround us, you have promised us a great inheritance, a holy city freed from the effects of sin. Strengthen us with the hope of glories that lie ahead, as you declare an end to sorrow, pain, and tears on the last day. Lead us to look towards that last day with longing eyes. As trials and pain assault us here, give us eyes to look upon you with hope, and to look upon the blessings that shall come on the last day. Let your truth stand as a solid rock upon which we can stand and trust, that we can trust in against the assaults of the evil one.
Protect us by your mighty hand that we may always be yours, until in your providence you call us home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, we pray for all those who are struggling with the pains of this life. We lift before you those who are hurting and feeling the effects of the fall and sin. Lord, you have called us to intercede on behalf of the saints, and we ask that you would lead us to do so now. Tune your heart and ears to the prayers of your people, and according to your goodness, grant us mercy according to your steadfast love. First, we lift before you Father Don Vogelsmeyer, who again got in a bit of an accident involving a gate and a tractor. Lord, as he suffers from broken ribs and an arm, we pray your mercy to comfort him and Judy. Give especially Don the strength and healing so that he can return again to worship with the fellowship of the saints. We thank you for the healing which you have brought him thus far, and we humbly ask that you would continue to bring your mercy to bear. And Lord, we also lift before you the loved ones of Wilma Krause. As we dedicated her body to the ground, awaiting the resurrection, we ask that you would grant hope and peace to the family. Give them the comfort which comes from seeing you as strong, merciful, and gracious. As you promise to come and raise these bodies again, give us peace, knowing that we shall see those loved ones again who have passed in the faith. And loving Father, great physician, we lift before you Pastor Jacob's daughter, Hannah Miller. She continues still to suffer from horrible abdominal pains. They're not fully known by us or doctors. Oh, Lord, we know that you know her situation altogether. And so we lift Hannah before your throne, asking for your tender mercy. As we lift before you one of the least of these, we trust that you will answer most graciously. Dear, tenderly with her, give her healing, relief, peace, and joy. Help her to find rest in you and your promises. And through the sorrows, Lord, lead all of us to turn to you for help. Be with the doctors looking over her, and bring wisdom and knowledge to bear. And lastly, Lord, for all the saints who suffer in body, mind, and spirit, be with your children that our cries may turn to rejoicing. Grant peace to go throughout your church and the world. Lead us in health and longevity so that we may live long lives, glorifying you and serving your kingdom here on earth. You know the needs of all your saints, and we ask that you continue to meet them according to your steadfast love. And hear the silent prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of the living, we come before you, now acknowledging you as the Lord of the saints. As we come before you this morning, remembering all of our brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone before us into glory, we thank you for each of them, for their witness, for their lives, and for using them for your glory. And this morning we remember with thanksgiving especially those who have passed this last year. May their witness and testimony strengthen us in our own faith and devotion towards you. May we be comforted, knowing that they stand before your throne today in perfection, with every tear wiped from their eyes and full of joy and peace. We thank you, Father, for Neil Metter. Shirley Colson. Charlene Hink. LaWanda Pinkapink. Mary Claiborne. Millie Hines. Bob Eichels. And for all our brothers and sisters in the faith from around the world. We thank you, Father, for the work you have done through them. Lead us also to fight the good fight and finish our race set before us with endurance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we worship God now with our offerings. Would you please stand? Your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son, In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on us, on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, giving it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn.